Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches and a production of the 224 Ecospace, where changemakers work, create, and lead. Today we are fortunate to have with us Deborah Kelly, who is the Executive Director of the Wisdom House, an interfaith retreat and conference center that presents programs in spirituality, wellness, the arts, and ecology, offering hospitality to academic, civic, nonprofit, and business organizations. The Wisdom House is committed to sustainability, justice, and welcoming people of all backgrounds and beliefs. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here this morning.
Glad to have you here. So why don't you start out by giving us some background on where you grew up? Tell us where you grew up.
So I grew up in Baltimore, Maryland, and I lived in Baltimore until I was about 29, and that's when my family and I moved to Connecticut. I love Baltimore. It was very exciting to be there, and I am very thankful for my years of growing up there.
So as you think about your life and your growing up, why do you think God chose your parents for your life formation?
So that's a great question. My parents are very simple, very hardworking. My father was a steel worker at the Bethlehem Steel plant in Baltimore City. 7 days a week, you know, that hard working, always working type of gentleman. And yet he was just that. He was a gentleman. He treated my mother like a gentleman would treat a woman. And he showed me, you know, how it's supposed to be and how to work hard and how to not live a lavish lifestyle, but to be content and thankful for what you've been given and to work hard for that. And so that has translated into my life as well.
So share your earliest memories as a child knowing God. How did you know God as a child?
So as a child, my mother took, I have three siblings, so there were four of us, and my mother took us to church. It was that Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever there was something going on, we were there, the four of us with my mother, pretty much in the front row or the second row, and it didn't matter how long the service was, we were going to be there. But my mother also spent time daily, doing the daily devotions and the prayers before meals. And I can remember my mother at the sink doing dishes, singing the hymns and singing in the choir and just instilling me the importance of having that relationship with God.
And so how did you journey in the faith beyond your childhood?
So I knew early on that I wanted to serve in my life. In what capacity, I wasn't sure how that would go, but I knew that I wanted to just serve and give my life back to God and minister in whatever way possible. And so early on in my career, I found that social services was the path that I could serve people and also make a living from it. And so I really poured my heart and soul into social services for about 25 years, and it became my passion. It was my passion. Great satisfaction in helping people at their worst point in life and trying to get them through some dark days.
And how do you believe God prepared you for your current role as Executive Director of the Wisdom House?
So prior coming to the Wisdom House, I was the Executive Director of a Youth and Family Service Bureau. And so that was my first position where there were many components, many different offices, many different things going on under one roof. And so being able to be in that position and manage those roles and bring those different departments together and manage that staff, I believe, prepared me for what I would see at the Wisdom House.
And when you think about your role in the social service arena, how is that infused in your work with the Wisdom House as well, as you look at things now as its leader?
So I'm so excited about that. Wisdom House is such a great opportunity. We have such a beautiful campus. We have such a nice area that I think we can incorporate social services into our ministry there. And I really see it as a ministry. I think we just have so many opportunities to reach out to other nonprofits, to social service agencies, and to partner and collaborate and bring them in at Wisdom House and provide services for them. And so that is my goal moving forward, that we would start reaching out to those different agencies and partnering with those that are serving in the social service spectrum.
So for those who are listening and maybe haven't heard about the Wisdom House, tell them what the Wisdom House is and what it's all about.
So the Wisdom House is a retreat and conference center in Litchfield, Connecticut. We're celebrating 70 years of the Daughters of Wisdom. So the Daughters of Wisdom founded Wisdom House 70 years ago, and it was originated as a monastery for young women who were coming to join the sisterhood. And it was a training facility for them. It was a school. And that went on until probably early 60s. And that's when they switched over to a college, and it was mostly an educational facility. And then it went on to become a retreat and conference center. And at that point, they started opening up. Obviously, it was predominantly Catholic until that time. And then it became an interfaith retreat and conference center, welcoming people of all faiths, of no faith. We wanted everyone that came there to feel welcome and to find what they were looking for in their spiritual walk or why they came there. And so the retreat and conference center has two components. We do offer programming. We bring speakers in. We invite the public to come in and learn and grow in their spirituality or in their walk. But we also host conferences there. So you can bring your group there. You can bring your church. You can bring your business. You can have a meeting there. You can come and stay for the weekend. You can come and stay for a day. You can come and stay for a week. We just had a Buddhist group in that stayed for 3 weeks.
Wow.
And so that is another component that we have that we welcome, that we are increasing our level of hospitality just to welcome all of these groups in to use that space and that facility to do their work.
And give people a sense of what the environment is like. Give us a little tour of the location. What would you see as the property?
Oh, so we have about 70 acres in Litchfield, and it's in the hills. It's peaceful. It's beautiful. It's kind of secluded. You're going down a road where there's nothing, and then all of a sudden there we are, and it's a pretty large building that just pops up. We are surrounded by trees. We have an outdoor labyrinth that people can enjoy. We have beautiful gardens. We have a lot of walking space. We're right near the town of Litchfield, so it's close proximity if you wanted to spend some time there and then go into town. We also have hiking trails around us and just beautiful scenery. It is peaceful. It is quiet. When you pull on the property, I've had many people tell me as soon as they pull on, they just feel a peace come over them because it's that type of atmosphere.
And so when someone comes onto the grounds, there's three core buildings that are there. You have the farmhouse, the main facility that used to be the convent, and
yes,
the barn. What's in the barn?
So the barn is basically just a meeting space. It's a really cool space. It's not very big, but it works. We recently had an art class out there, and it was very conducive to what the work they were trying to do. We've had a yoga class out there. We've had small meeting groups out there. And it gives you that barn atmosphere, but it's a nice space for small meetings.
And then the farmhouse, I know that you've had groups that have stayed there for extended periods of time.
Yes, the farmhouse is just lovely. We're very excited to have that as part of our facilities. It provides a whole different atmosphere than the main building. It gives you that more homey feeling. There's a living space, a dining space, bedrooms, And for smaller groups, like writers groups, or we have a group of women who come every year who are celebrating recovery from breast cancer, and they use that space, and it's very just dear to them that they can all gather together. There's a sofa in the main living room, and I'm like, if we ever have to replace that, I don't know where we'll go. It's the largest sofa I've ever seen. I think you can put like 17 people on
it. Wow.
It stretches all the way around the room, but I think that's what some of the groups love, just that closeness. It brings everyone together, and you feel at home. You know, there's the kitchen and the dining room. There's a beautiful sun porch that overlooks our property, and it just provides a really sweet atmosphere.
So it's a wonderful atmosphere at the Wisdom House, especially as we roll into fall. It's really a place that people want to be, to see the rolling hills in Litchfield County. We're talking with Deborah Kelly from the Wisdom House, and we'll be back after the break.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. Oh, freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn.
My lover's got humor, she's the giggle at a funeral, knows everybody's disapproval. I should have worshipped her sooner. If the heavens ever did speak, she's the last true mouthpiece. Every Sunday's getting more bleak. Fresh boys dozen each week. We were born sick, you heard them say it. My church offers no absolutes. She tells me worship in the bedroom. The only heaven I'll be sent to is when I'm alone with you. I was born sick, but I love it. Command me to be well. Amen. 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 Take me to church. I'll worship like a dog at the shrine of your life. I'll tell you my sins and you can sharpen your knife. Offer me that deathless death, the good God. Let me give you my life. Take me to church. I'll worship like a dog.
Getting on the internet and checking a new hit, me get up. First shot, come strut walking. A little bit of humble, a little bit of cautious. Somewhere between like Rocky and Cosby's for the game. Nope, nope, y'all can't copy yet. Glad, moonwalking. And this here is our party. My posse's been on Broadway, and we did it all way. Chrome music, I shed my skin and put my bones into everything I record to it. And yeah, I'm on. Let that stage light go and shine on down. Got that Bob Barker suit game and Plinko in my style. Money, stay on my craft and stick around for those pounds. But I do that to pass the torch and put on for my town. Trust me, on my I-N-D-E-P-E-N-D-E-N-T. Hustling, chasing dreams since I was 14 with the four track busting. Halfway across that city with the back crush. Labels out here, now they can't tell me nothing. We give that to the people, spread it across the country. Labels out here, now they can't tell me nothing. We give it to the people, spread it across the country.
Can we go back? This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the ceiling can't hold us.
Can we go back? Yeah, I'm so damn grateful. I grew up really wanting gold fronts, but that's what you get when Wu-Tang raised you. Y'all can't stop me. Go hard like I got an 808 in my heartbeat. And I'm eating at the beat like it gave a little speed to a great white shark on shark. We rock. Time to go off. I'm gone. Deuces goodbye. I got a world to see. And my girl, she wanna see Rome. Caesar make you a believer. Nah, I never ever did it for a throne. That validation comes from giving it back to the people. Now sing this song and it goes like, raise those hands, this is our party. We came here to live life like nobody was watching. I got my city right behind me. If I fall, they got me. Learn from that failure, gain humility, and then we keep marching.
Can we go back? This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the ceiling can't.
Welcome back. We're talking with Deborah Kelly, the executive director of the Wisdom House. So, Deborah, how long have you been serving as the leader of the Wisdom House?
So, in October, I will celebrate 2 years as executive director of the Wisdom House.
And that time has gone by very quickly.
It has flown by, Shelley. It really has.
And so you inherited the Wisdom House, and they had quite a legacy of what they had been doing. Talk about what the Wisdom House is today under your leadership.
You're right. It has quite a legacy. The administration prior to me just were trailblazers. They hit the ground running. They put Wisdom House on the map. They did things that people weren't doing during their time. And so I believe I have inherited just an immense, blessed ministry. And so I want to continue that heritage. I want to build upon what was established there. But it's time for Wisdom House to go into this new chapter. It is a new leadership. It is a new administration. It's a new time. And we have to grow. And so for that to happen, we have to reach out. We have to broaden our audience. We have to broaden our programming. We have to reach out to audiences and communities that we haven't maybe tapped into before. And so that's the challenge that we're facing right now, working on a strategic plan that will give us that roadmap to how to get there.
And so as you look at some of the things that are on the horizon in your leadership, what are some of the projects you're taking on in the Wisdom House now to prepare for this new future?
As I said prior, the building has been around for almost 70 years. And so one of the major things is just doing some updates and creating the space that is welcoming and increasing that level of hospitality so that when people come, they have that experience We'll never be a resort. We are a retreat center, so we need to keep that in focus. But we want our everything, from the moment you come to the moment you leave, from your room to the bathrooms to the dining experience to your time in your meeting spaces, everything just to be, you know, as good as it can be. And so we're working on making all of that happen. But on the flip side, we also want to create that programming that's bringing in that new audience, that those fresh faces, people, you know, I hear it over and over again, and it just continues to boggle my mind. People say, what is Wisdom House? I don't know what you do there. Or I've never heard of Wisdom House before. And I'm thinking, you've lived here and you don't. So that's another challenge we have, that marketing challenge, getting our message out there. Here is Wisdom House. This is what we do. This is why you should come here. And just making it open to everyone.
Now, you said something powerful, which is this is a retreat center and not a resort. For people that don't know anything about retreats, what is a retreat center?
Another great question.
What might you find in a retreat center?
Right. I believe a retreat center should be a place, it is a place, where people come to get away. And in this crazy world that we live in right now, all of the things that are going on, I think all of us need retreat. And it is a time to just step away, unplug from the world, look inside, think about your life, where you're going, goals, objectives, maybe pain that you're dealing with, whatever it is, but to come away and deal with that and become refreshed and be better to, you know, do whatever you're doing in your family, in your occupation, in your community. You know, we all need that time of retreat to get away and refresh ourselves.
And so for people that are listening and thinking about this idea of retreat, you can either sign up for an organized retreat with a group, or you could come one-on-one for a retreat.
Yes.
So what might a person encounter if they come away even by themselves for a retreat? How is the day structured or their time structured when they're there?
So if you came alone and wanted to do just a personal private retreat, we will accommodate whatever needs you may have. We will put you in a nice room. We will give you the space, allow you to enjoy the property, the gardens. As you mentioned, we're going into fall, and the foliage and the scenery at Wisdom House this time of year is just unbelievable. So to be able to get away and have a peaceful, quiet place where you can read, you can meditate, contemplate, pray, whatever it is you do, sing, and enjoy just that simple time away. We have a beautiful chapel at Wisdom House, and I often find myself wanting just to go in there and sit and reflect and just, you know, close the world out and take some time to refresh myself.
And, of course, within the Wisdom House is a wonderful commercial kitchen and highly qualified staff. And so if you're there at the right time, there are wonderful meals that will happen through the course of the day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I can talk because I have been there on retreat. So I love the rhythm of the place where you can get up, you have your breakfast, you may enter the property, you might walk on the labyrinth, you go back in, lunchtime, you had time for lunch. And then you have a break time in between, and then dinner time. You walk around, you meditate. There's a wonderful art gallery that's there within the space as well. So there's different places for you to walk, to be, to pray, to ponder, all at the Wisdom House. And plus, it's that elevated territory in Connecticut where you're getting really good oxygen in Litchfield. Mm-hmm. So you're breathing fresh air and getting refreshed right there on the property. Talk about what part art plays at the Wisdom House.
Art is a very special place at the Wisdom House. We have the Marie Trichet Art Gallery celebrating 20 years this year. And 3 times a year, we'll bring artists in and showcase their work. And it's just something that is, again, inspiring. It is uplifting. It causes you to think and ponder different things. So our art gallery, although it is a little small, I think it's a perfect size for the Wisdom House. It's perfect size, and we're very excited to be able to offer that to our guests when they are in-house. We also have people that stop in just for the art gallery. And so you're welcome to come just to see our art gallery. You're welcome to come just to walk our labyrinth. You're welcome to come just to spend a day there. We welcome everyone.
We're talking with Deborah Kelly, the executive director of the Wisdom House, and we'll be back after the break. have been listening to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches.
Day. So I ran to the river. It was boiling.
come back, we're talking with Deborah Kelly, the executive director of the Wisdom House. And so in our last segment, we were talking about the impact of art at the Wisdom House. What has your spiritual attention at this time as you move forward with the Wisdom House? What is God saying to you about the cause and the work of the Wisdom House in this age?
I believe God is speaking in our programs and just, again, reaching out to our community and beyond, not just Litchfield. We want to reach as far as we can into Connecticut, surrounding towns, and also, you know, around tri-state area, and get a message in our programs that's going to attract people to come, that is going to inspire them. We want the programs, we want them to go away having experience something that they'll never forget. You know, we appreciate that they would take time and come. We want that time to be fulfilling. So what are the programs that we can offer? So this is where we're at right now, developing these new programs, developing these opportunities, changing the way a little bit that it used to be done. You know, you can do things for the same way only for so long, and then you've got to change it. And so we are at a time of transition. Like we said, I'm celebrating 2 years there in October. We have a new program director that we're very excited about, and it is a new chapter for Wisdom House and a new opportunity to bring these programs that are going to minister to our communities.
Yes, and we're excited. In our next segment with the Wisdom House, next week we'll be talking with Travis Tucker, who's the new program director of the Wisdom House. And so we're excited to hear more about what is happening with the programming there. You talked before about this idea of retreat, and you've talked a bit about your role in the field of social work. So when you look at the Wisdom House in this age and these times, why do you think people need a space and a place like the Wisdom House?
I think in society today, we are so caught up in busyness. We're so caught up in social media, our phones. We can't function without being connected to social media or our phone or all of these things. And I believe we are in a time of turmoil. I don't know that we've ever experienced some of the things that we are experiencing right now in our society. And so I think if we don't take time to look internally, if we don't take time to be grounded in what our beliefs are and what we are passionate about, we get caught up and time just goes. And we're not making the difference. We're not making our community a better place. It's time to see how we can reach out, how we can give back. What is our responsibility, you know, for those that are coming up under us in how we leave this world? And so by taking retreat, by looking inward, it gives you time to reflect and think, you know, there's a lot that I could and should be doing. And how do I do that? And where are the opportunities to do that? And so we hope at the Wisdom House you will come. You'll be encouraged. You'll learn something that maybe you didn't know before. You'll see something in a different light, and it will inspire you to be different.
And you have mentioned before that there are people that bring entire groups on retreat at the Wisdom House. Talk about how that works.
So that's a very exciting piece. I think that's one of the privileges that I enjoy the most at Wisdom House. We have so many different groups that come through the Wisdom House. And to just to hear their story, to meet with them. Some of them have come year after year after year. We have church groups. We have youth groups. I mentioned we had a Buddhist group that came. They had been coming for several years. They had stopped. They're back. And these groups come, and the Wisdom House is dear to them because they've experienced things there that have changed their life. And so to be able to meet with them and hear what Wisdom House means to them is the encouragement that keeps us excited about growing and moving forward and bringing other people in to have those same experiences.
And so as you think about your role as executive director of the Wisdom House and you consider the life journey that you will continue to have, as you look back and you get to the end of this journey at the Wisdom House, what would you like to say that you had accomplished?
I would like to say, that is a great question. I would like to say that I have accomplished not only continuing the legacy that was established there, but broadening it in a way that has reached so many more, that has inspired people, that I've created a space, not I, as a staff, We have created a space at Wisdom House that has enabled people to come and really have significant change in their life, really have a moment, an awakening, something that challenged or inspired them to do something different with their life.
And if someone wants to know more about the Wisdom House, how do they find out more?
So I would encourage you to go to our website at www.wisdomhouse.org. I would encourage you to call. You can reach us anytime during the day from 9 to 5. I would encourage you to come and visit. Even if you're just in the neighborhood and you want to stop in, someone is always there. We'd love to talk to you. If you'd like to call in advance, we could set up a brief tour. If you want to just stop in and see our grounds and spend some time there, you're more than welcome to do that as well.
Debra Kelly, we thank you for your role as Executive Director of the Wisdom House and your work in the world.
Thank you. This was a great opportunity.
All the leaves around and the sky is gray.
Over 25% of adolescents and teens have been bullied repeatedly through their cell phones or the internet. Over half of young people who experience cyberbullying do not tell their parents when it occurs. Fewer than 1 in 5 cyberbullying incidents are reported to law enforcement. If you have a loved one who you think is being cyberbullied, go to www.stopbullying.gov and help stop cyberbullying.
30,000 square feet. What would you do with that kind of possibility? Would you strategize your future? Or get lost in the past? Will you fill it with stories? Or use it to empty your mind? Would you explore your spirituality? Or focus on improving your community? Will you use it to work late? Or just work it? Could you create lasting impressions? Or a brief, delicious one? Our vision for the 224? 30,000 square feet of endless possibilities.
Arsenic, formaldehyde, hydrogen cyanide, carbon monoxide. These are just a few of the 7,000 chemicals that can be traced from cigarettes. Tobacco-related deaths are expected to rise to around 8 million annual deaths worldwide by the year 2030. Put down the cigarette and don't be one of those people.
Been listening to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches and a production of the 224 Ecospace. Reach out to us and tell us what you think. Look for Rich Answers, the Conference of Churches, and me, Reverend Dr. Shelley Bess, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Like us, follow us, share us.